The Guardian.
We're in the echoing space of the Grand Palais in Paris. It's early evening. The sun has gone, and there's a perfect blue sky going pale, losing its colour. Above the vaulted glass roof, where the tricolour is flying above the cupola. It's a huge space in here, a vast, empty, echoing, concrete-floored hall, part Beaux-Arts, part Art Nouveau architecture. You can imagine Walter Benjamin walking through here. I said it was empty. There are groups of people all along its length. It's over 800 feet long. I guess it's longer and taller and wider than the Turbine Hall in Tate Modern. And these groups are standing and talking and walking. Those at the other end of the building look very far away and tiny. And the reason we're here is that running the length of this building are a series of five milled steel slabs or plates, great vertical rectangles, one every 100 feet along the length of the building. There are five of them centered along its length. And they stand to either side of an imaginary line. They alternate one side and another of the central axis of the building, tilted towards and away from that axis and towards and away from one another, orientated along their flat sides parallel to one another, the length of the building, that interrupt you as you walk and as you look. And one of the pleasures is to figure out how some of them lean one way, or why they lean one way, and why they lean the other. And if you place yourself right in that central axis, you can see right down the building. People walking one way and another, and towards me and away from me. People stand up against these slabs, looking a bit apprehensive. They weigh over 70 tons each, and they seem unsupported. Of course, they're buried in the floor and have great steel blocks attached to them, which are also cemented in to the concrete. Although they would stand unaided, health and safety, I guess, means they don't. It's called Promenade, and it's by the American sculptor Richard Serra, and it's the best Richard Serra I've seen. It's the most devastating work. It's so simple and so complex. Let's walk the hall together. As you walk, you become aware of the tension between each of these steel plates that reach up into the glass roof. But they don't somehow get too complicated by it. They're just the right height. They stab the floor. They're impaled into it, buried in it, like ship's keels come to rest on a sandbar. When I first walked in and saw them, it felt sudden. They had a suddenness, and that was earlier today, and that they were striped with shadow and sunlight that floods in, complicating the forms and camouflaging them with light and shade, zebra striping everybody and the floor, and you get a kind of Doppler effect. of shadow and light. And now, of course, the sun's gone, and the slabs are this wonderful oxide, greyish, reddish, purplish, bluish, fugitive colour. They absorb the light and they reflect it. Looking back down the space, I know there are three behind me. I can only see two of these huge slabs. You have to keep moving like a snake along a room. You have to do a kind of serpentine walk. First one way, then the other. And the slabs seem to choreograph your walk as much as they are choreographed in themselves and choreographed by Richard Serra. They are magnificently playful, I want to say. Not at all like the kind of brooding slab of, 2001 or something, you know, the Kubrick movie. They are what they are. Runways up to leading you into the sky and up to the ceiling and the roof. I know how far apart they are. When I look back down this hall, the ones further away seem to have snuck off towards the far end and are leaning into one another as if they were conspiring. We all have our own way of reading all this, of describing what we look at. In a way, the sculpture is immune to that. That's what we do. And we've reached the far end now. About, 500 or 600 feet away from where we started. And this last slab is catching the evening light in its upper reaches. Ones further away seem to have dulled down now. And this one is still catching this steely evening light. And above the cupola, there's a sickle moon that's come out. Serra gave a talk today and he talked about Matisse and how Matisse mentioned, you know, countering a straight line with a curve. And that, in a way, is what he's done. He's countered the curves of this arching ceiling, this arching roof, its girders, with these tilted straight lines. And then the moon has answered him back, as if it were a question or a mouth about to say something. I'm amazed, really. And I get up close to this slab, put my hand out. It comes back covered in rust, this skin of rust, and there are other handprints all at roughly the same height with the kind of kid's hands at the bottom all over this magisterial slab of steel. It proves that we were here this beautiful evening. The light fading and time passing, which is what I suppose these things will stand witness to. These great slabs running the length of the room measure not just space, but time. And I walk away feeling a bit like I've been punched in the stomach. And I feel the weight of my life on me, somehow, and in me. And with my back turned to these slabs, and I can feel them behind me, prickling the hairs on the back of my neck. And it's evening, and Paris waits, so let's go.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.